Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov, welcome. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will be going all the way through the summer. I've taken my summer break, so I'm not planning on being away for any weeks. So, please God, we'll go all the way through till September. After September, we'll try and work out again. There may be a couple of weeks we can't do. But that's the plan, unless there are other changes. Please God, that is the program. The next 3 weeks, we're now obviously in the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. Let me map ahead what I'm hoping to do. For these next 3 weeks, starting from today, I'd like to deal in some detail with a halakhic and hashkafic concept, and I'll explain to you soon why it's a halakhic concept, which is to get a deeper understanding of what is Mashiach, and what do we mean by Mashiach, and what do we understand as we're yearning for, or asking for, or davening for with Mashiach. These days, as we're thinking about what we lost, we have to focus also on what we're aiming for. That's part of the process of tshuva, to try and work forward. So I'd like to look today at one angle on Mashiach, which is very much coming from the Rambam. We'll see the Rambam figures very strongly in today's shiur. Next week, I'd like to take a more Kabbalistic angle and look at a more Rav Kook's vision of Mashiach and Mashiach ben Yosef and what that means. And then in the last year, I'd like to bring it together and look more at issues of Tchiyat HaMetim and how we understand that, because these are according to the Rambam, are critical things we have to have some understanding of. And I will see why he includes them in his halachic compendium as well as just a hashgafic issue. So that's what I'd like to map out for the next 3 weeks. Please God, the 3 weeks after that, I think many of you are aware that Be'ezrat Hashem, my daughter's getting married at the end of Av. So the 3 weeks after Tisha B'Av, leading up to the wedding, I'd like to take three different wedding topics to get myself in the mood. It can't just be about writing checks, right? There has to be something else in the lead up to the wedding to get me all in the mood. So I'd like to deal with three different topics: hashgafic, halachic, controversial, contemporary issues, and look at those. And after that, we'll plan forward from that. Okay. Mrs. Schiff, what would you like? Would you like a sheet? Well, as it happens, I have a little sneaky one in my bag. Do you have one? You can have my original. Okay. I haven't got any more. I can't pull any more rabbits out of the hat. Okay, let's have a look. You don't have to have the sheet. If people can share a little bit, if there are people without any, that will be good too. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Everybody's familiar, I think, with the first source, which is Ani ma'amin ve'emuna shalema beviat ha-mashiach. Va'af al pi sheyit ma'mea im kol ze'achak eloi sheyavo. Perhaps the most famous line about Mashiach, that I believe with an emuna shalema the Mashiach will come. And af al pi sheyit ma'mea, even though there will be a delay, there may be a delay, we'll see where that word comes from. And then the next three words are the krecht. Im kol ze'ach. Notwithstanding all that has happened, achak eloi, we still wait, sheyavo, the Mashiach will come. We don't know who wrote the Ani Ma'amin. They are based on the Rambam. We'll see the Rambam's original in a second. But we don't know exactly who wrote them. They don't always say exactly what the Rambam said, by the way. It's not, you can't just read the Ani Ma'amin and assume that you're reading the Rambam's perspective. It's not always true. But that's a different study for a more in-depth look at the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So what do we mean by this, that Mashiach will come and that we will wait for Mashiach? What kind of Mashiach are we hoping will indeed come? So number two is the original Rambam, actually not the original, because the original was written in Arabic. The Rambam wrote everything in Judeo-Arabic, which is Arabic using Hebrew characters, apart from the Mishnah Torah, which was his halachic work, which we'll see soon, quite a lot of sources. But I'm not bringing you the original Arabic, because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't get too far using the original Arabic, but this is the Hebrew translation, number two. Hayisat HaShnei Masar, the 12th principle, is Yemot HaMashiach. And again, it's not just about Mashiach, but it's Yemot HaMashiach. It's understanding how the world will be when Mashiach comes. V'hu la'amin sheyavo v'lo yacher. And it's to understand and to believe This word emunah is a complicated word which is not for now. It's not clear that the Rambam, when he wrote the word in Arabic, means emunah in terms of belief. But we have confidence in the fact that he will come, and he won't be too late, meaning it'll come in due course. And he quotes the Habakkuk Pasuk, which is where this word comes from. Im yitzmamea, even if he delays, chakelo, wait for him, says Habakkuk. That's where we saw an imam. V'lo yisam lo keitz katzuf. And we're not able to give. There was never a clear set time frame for Mashiach. And don't try and explain the psukim to try and predict when Mashiach is going to come. Because the rabbi said, that those people who think they know when Mashiach is come, their view is, it's all inflated, it's hot air, it's nonsense. Meaning people who say, oh, Mashiach is definitely this, they don't know what they're talking about. It actually slightly irritates me that people stand up in Shirim and say, everybody can see Mashiach is here, he's almost here. Like, okay, maybe, but Ezrat Hashem. But how do they know that? Chachamim didn't know, and the Nevi'im didn't know, but they know, because they're giving the Shir. So it's, the Rambam says, you have to be a little bit circumspect on that. Ula ha'amin, but we have to believe, v'gedulato, how amazing it'll be when Mashiach comes. V'ahavato, and to love the idea of Mashiach, there has to be an ahava. That we're just in love with this concept of Mashiach, which is interesting, we'll see what that is. The hatfilah alav, and we have to daven for Mashiach, which we do multiple times a day in Shemana Esrei. Kefi mashe dubar bo al yidei kol navi, because this is what is spoken about by all the Nevi'im, mi Moshe v'ad Malachi, from the beginning to the end, the first Moshe to the last Malachi, they all talk about Mashiach. U'mi shemetel b'sof v'kol mezalzel dvaro. Somebody who is doubtful. They're not sure, I'm not sure about Mashiach. Or they're mezalzel. They make fun a bit of Mashiach. I always find it's a little bit off color when people say things like, oh, you know, that'll happen when Mashiach comes. Yes. It's not something not quite right about that statement. It's kind of making fun as if you think Mashiach's now happening. No, he says, you can't do that. Because Eva Torah, he's denying the Torah, it's not just the Nevi'im. Asher yada bo b'feirush, because the Torah predicts explicitly, he says, Mashiach. He talks about Mashiach, the Parashat Bilam, which we just read, which we call Parashat Balak now. We talk to him in Bilam, where he talks about Ashur Bala'at, I see, but not now, and he talks about Kochav, Darach Miyakov, Darach Kochav Miyakov, etc. V'atem Netzavim. And also in the Parashat of Atem Netzavim, which we're going to read in a few weeks, which predicts that God will bring us back to the land of Israel, and there'll be a Tshuva, etc. U'michlele Yisod Azeh, included in this belief in Mashiach, he says, is Ki Ein Melech L'Yisrael Elami David. The only king of Israel can be David, and we'll see what he means by kings of Israel soon. Umizera Shlomo b'yichud, and it has to come through Shlomo. Why is that an issue? So one of the possibilities may be that the Rambam is having a, if you like, is addressing the Christian claim that they're tracing to the lineage of David HaMelech is through David's son Nathan, not through Shlomo. And he says, no, that's wrong. We have to go through Shlomo. V'chol mi shecholek al dvar ha'mishpacha hazot, and anyone who disagrees with this family, this lineage, kofer b'Hashem, is denying God, u'b'divrei Nevi'ah, and the words of his Nevi'im. Therefore, the Rambam set out a number of things that we have to focus on for Mashiach. And this is the original Rambam. To love Mashiach, to daven for Mashiach, to understand how great Mashiach is going to be. So let's try and understand what we're aiming for, what we're loving, what we're davening for, etc. And we'll look now in some detail at the Rambam's halachot of Mashiach. Now, this is an important thing to bear in mind. Why are there halachot of Mashiach? The Rambam deals with Mashiach in his Mishnah Torah, which is a halachic work, in three different places. He deals with it in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, at the beginning of Mishnah Torah, where he sets out the key issues that a Jew has to understand and believe and have an emunah in. He sets it out in Hilchot Tshuva, where he talks about processes of Tshuva and Olam Haba, etc. And he talks about it mostly at the end in Hilchot Melachim, in the laws of the kings and the laws of wars at the end of Mishnah Torah. The Rambam includes extensive coverage of what we understand Mashiach to be. Why? Why is this a halachic concept? If you open the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't talk about Mashiach. He talks about practical things, getting up in the morning and davening and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and business and Kashrus and Shabbos. He doesn't talk about Mashiach. Why does the Rambam include Mashiach in his halachic compendium? And I think we need to try and understand that through the Shir and to the end of the Shir. And I'm going to suggest to you that for the Rambam, Mashiach is not something we just wait for, but it's something we have to actively bring And therefore we have to understand Mashiach because we have to know where, which direction we're pushing the world. And that has to be a very conscious part of our daily life. Because we'll see, according to the Rambam, Mashiach is a natural process. And it's a process which has to evolve. And we have to be involved in making that happen. And therefore, for the Rambam, understanding Mashiach is a day-to-day issue, not just something which is going to happen in some miraculous realm in the future. And well, let's see how that works. The first thing to do is to differentiate in Halacha between Mashiach and Olam Haba. Because these terms are often used in a very unclear way. What does it mean, Olam Haba? Olam Haba, the world to come. What does that mean? Which world to come? Are we talking about the life after death? Are we talking about the world that will come in this world, the Mashiach? So the first thing the Rambam says in number 3 is as follows. Kama tama David vehitava lechai Olam Haba. How much did David HaMelech want Olam Haba? And by Olam Haba, he's talking about the soul world that we go to after we die. Shneimar, lulei hemanti lirot b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim. If only I thought that I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of life, Eretz Chaim. Kvar hodiyu chachamim arishonim shetovat ha'olam haba en koach ba'adam lasik goal bariyah. And we know with absolute clarity, he says, that we have absolutely no idea of exactly what the Olam Haba is going to be like. We don't have any real understanding of Olam Haba. How can we in this world? The Ein Yodea Gadla. We don't know how amazing, great it would be. The Yafia, how beautiful it would be. Atma, we don't understand its essence. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levada. Only God understands Olam Haba, because at the end of the day, Olam Haba is merging and connecting with the divine source. And just like we don't understand God in his essence in this world, we can't. How can a being which is limited and finite understand God? Just as we can't understand God, we can't understand Olam Haba. It's just outside our whole, even just to try and work out how this fits into any kind of human mindset, you're already tying yourselves in knots. Meaning, Olam Haba is a world without time. So in a world without time, we're already there. In a sense, because once we get to Olam Haba, we can't get to Olam Haba, it's a world beyond time. In Olam Haba, all your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are already in Olam Haba. We're already in Olam Haba. Later the Rambam says that our neshamas exist in Olam Haba, our bodies are in Olam Hazer, and we're connected to that parallel existence. So how this works, he says, we don't really understand. There was a book written 100 years ago called Flatland. It was a book about a two-dimensional creature that finds itself in a three-dimensional world. And the paradoxes and the impossibilities of understanding as a two-dimensional creature, how you can be. Let's imagine you're a two-dimensional creature. You only know two dimensions. And you go around a sphere, and you're going forward, 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 and you end up back in the place that you started. How on earth can that happen? I was only going forward, and I ended up back where I started. Now, you and I know that's because you go around a sphere. It's three-dimensional, but if we don't understand that, we don't understand that. And it says, Olam Haba, therefore, is off the radar screen in our understanding. Because all of those things which the prophets describe to us in Tanakh, Einan ela ledvarim shel aguf, they are not Olam Haba. That's a mistake. They're nothing to do with Olam Haba. What the prophets describe to us is physical things. Sheninim behem Yisrael b'yimot hamelech haMashiach. These are the things that we will experience when Mashiach comes. V'zman shetachzor haMemshala Yisrael. Once the Jewish people get its government back. And the Rambam stresses again and again, Mashiach is a political system. Meaning, don't confuse, is the first thing he says, Olam Haba and Mashiach. The Nevi'im don't talk about Olam Haba. Only talk about Mashiach. Mashiach we do understand. We do have an understanding and a focus on, because it's part of this world as opposed to Olam Haba, which is a world beyond. Aval tovat chai Olam Haba, ein la erech v'dimion, the world of Olam Haba, we can't value it, we can't assess it, we can't imagine it. V'loi dimu ha-Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im never even tried. Kidei shelo yifchatu ota v'dimion, because otherwise it would diminish it by trying to describe Olam Haba. V'hushe Yeshiyahu omer, ein lo rata, elokim, zulatcha, yaseh, lemachakela. No eye has ever seen it, God apart from you, you will do it for those who wait for it, this is Olam Haba. This goodness that no one's ever seen, a navi that the eye of the navi has never seen, that God has made that world and that awaits us all. Be'ezrat Hashem, Amru Chachamim, Kol Hanaviim Kula Lo Yidnabu Elo Bimot Mashiach. And actually, we're focused on Mashiach. Aval Olam Haba Ein Lo Rata Elokim Zulat. Okay, fine. So, in that sense, from now on, what we're talking about is Mashiach, not Olam Haba. And let's not get try and talk about Olam Haba because we don't really know what we're talking about. So what is Mashiach then? So the Rambam, and I'm going to give you a few different explanations of how this works in the Rambam. The Rambam starts off by saying, as I mentioned before, Mashiach is political. Number four, HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amod. One day there will be Mashiach, he says. And what will he do? La'achzir Malchut Beit David Liyoshna. He will return the family of David to its original state. There will be a rulership of the Mishpachat David. Liyoshna, Memshala Rishona, to its original government. We will have a Jewish government in the land of Israel. That is the first thing he says. That's Mashiach. Now already you start to understand how a religious Zionist perspective on Mashiach, where we understand Mashiach as a process or the beginning of a political process, is rooted very strongly in the Rambam. So that's the first thing. A government, a country. Ubone Mikdash. And we'll build a Mikdash. And again, he's going to say later, none of these details are clear. Is Mashiach going to build a Mikdash, or are we going to build a Mikdash before Mashiach comes? That seems to be a machlokas between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The Rambam seems to say Mashiach will build a Mikdash. Umekabetz nidchei Yisrael. And Mashiach will gather in those who are scattered all over the world. Again, who is the Rambam talking about? Is it the lost tribes, who for sure have not come back from anywhere yet? Is it the Jews of New York? Who is it talking about? Okay? If it's the Jews of New York, then Mashiach will certainly be very helpful. But it could be that we can do that even before Mashiach. We'll talk about that later. The Chazrin Kol Mishpatim B'Yamav. And here is a point which the Rambam stresses a lot. And all the legal system, all the laws, all of the halachot of the Jewish Torah system will return in Mashiach's days, Kishayu Mikodem, just like they were before. Fundamental to the Rambam's understanding of Mashiach is halacha, Torah, will not change. Mitzvot will not change. We will not have a new system, we will have the same system, except that we will just have it upgraded to the way it used to be, because we'll have all that we need to have, a Sanhedrin, a Mikdash, etc. Makrivin Korbanot, we'll bring Korbanot, Va'otin Shmitim, we'll have Shmitah in its full sense, V'yovlot and Yovel, Kochol Mitzvatan Hamura B'Torah. In other words, what we're looking forward to, says the Rambam, is Torah in its full essence. In Olam Haba, in the sense of the next world, there is no Torah, there are no bodies, there's no guf, and therefore that's a difference. But in this world there is, and Mashiach will be a world of Torah. And anyone who doesn't believe or doesn't expect or await Mashiach actively, not only the other Nevi'im is he denying, and then he goes on for the rest of that source to bring the different psukim, the talk in the Chumash about the coming of Mashiach and how central that is to Jewish belief. And that's why it's in his halachic section. So the first thing to understand is the Rambam says Mashiach is a process which is political, a Mikdash, the returning of the exiles, etc. That is what we are hoping for and waiting for. And Torah in its pristine state and certainly no changes. Go over the page, please. And one of the things the Rambam stresses again and again is in his concept of Mashiach there will be no miracles. And we'll see how that fits. Number five. Al Yalel Datach. Don't think for 1 minute, he says. Shehamelech HaMashiach Tarech La'asot Ototum Oftim. That Mashiach needs to do miracles and wonders. U'mechadesh Dvarim Be'olam. And make new things happen in the world. U'mechayim Eitim. Bring the dead back to life. U'kiyotzi B'dvarim Eilu. Shehatip Shim Omrim. This is a foolish belief that Mashiach will impress us with miracles. And of course, you have to understand the Rambam is writing this with a view all the time to Christianity and Islam. In fact, the last few chapters of the Mishnah Torah were heavily censored by the church. Okay, I'm bringing you in a minute from the uncensored version, okay, which we have. But the version you buy off the shelves, if you go to Manny's bookstore and buy a Rambam, you'll be buying the censored version, because the print is still, unless you buy the Frankel, which is the new one, the church were very nervous about what the Rambam was saying, and they edited that, and also the Gemara. Any references in the Gemara to Christianity, of which there are many, were edited out by the church. Not always that intelligently. For example, the church didn't like the word min. The word min is often used to refer to an early Christian. Why? Because the Christians call themselves the ma'aminim, the true believers. And the rabbi said, no, you're not the ma'aminim, you're the minim. Like the all sorts of ragtag groups of different people who broke off. So they were very nervous about the word, anxious about the word min. So they crossed out the word min through the Talmud and they wrote instead akum, the abbreviation. Okay? Ayin chaf vav mem. Ovid kochavim umazalot. Because they said, they're not talking about us, they're talking about pagans, you know, the Romans, whatever. they were sometimes a little overzealous. You know how you have when you have a document in Word and you press change all, whatever, and it changes every reference and you realize you've changed all. We have Gemaras edited where instead of the Arba Minim on Sukkot, they changed it to the Arba Akumim. Okay? We have Gemaras like that. So sometimes, which obviously Min there clearly doesn't mean an early Christian, but nevertheless, the Rambam itself was also censored. But this is the uncensored version. Shehari Rabbi Akiva. So he says, no miracles. Why? Shehari Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Mechachmei Mishnah Haya. Rabbi Akiva was one of the greatest rabbis of the Mishnah. He was the armor bearer to Bar Kochba. This is very well known, that Rabbi Akiva, but it's well known from here. There is no apparent source anywhere in the material, in the rabbis, in the Chazal that we have, as far as I'm aware, that Rabbi Akiva was indeed the armor bearer to Bar Kochba, but the Rambam writes it here, he must have got it from somewhere. He said Rabbi Akiva was very close to the whole war. But who Hayah Amarav? And Rabbi Akiva would say about Rabbi Bar Kochba, who Melech HaMashiach? He is the Melech HaMashiach, meaning there have been very great people in the past, in the Jewish people, who have been very confident that this is Mashiach, and who said, Hu Melech HaMashiach, Yechi Adonenu, whatever, we'll talk about that soon. And they've not always been right. And it's no crime to be wrong. He says people have, and they didn't expect miracles, he'll say. V'dima Hu Kol Chachmei Dora, and not only him, but all of the rabbis of his generation. It wasn't just Rabbi Akiva. Shehu Melech HaMashiach, that he thought he was Mashiach, Ad Shinerag Ba'avonoto, until he was killed. Until Bar Kochba was killed for his sins. Kevan Shinerag, as soon as he was killed, neither, then it was evident and known to all, She'ein Mashiach. So he can't be the Mashiach. You can't be a dead Mashiach. V'lo shalu mimenu chachamim lo'ot v'lo mofet. No one ever asked for a wonder or a miracle. No one ever asked Bar Kochba to do anything miraculous. He didn't walk on the water. He didn't bring people back to life. And yet they were confident that he was Mashiach. That's the point the Rambam is making. And they were wrong. By the way, this idea that you can't have a Mashiach who is dead is an interesting one. How does this impact on current affairs? So some people will bring this and say, look, you see, this is Mephorish in the Rambam, that you can't have a Mashiach who is dead. To which, of course, people who believe strongly that the Rebbe in Chabad is a potential candidate for Mashiach will say, well, no, this is talking about someone who was killed for their Averas. Bar Kochba went off the boil big time at the end. That can't be said of anyone else. And in fact, the idea that you can have someone coming back from the dead in order to become a Mashiach is not without sources. There are sources. The Rambam says clearly that Tchias HaMeisim can happen before Mashiach, can happen after Mashiach, during Mashiach. More about that later. And therefore, if people want to say that the Mashiach is going to come back from the dead in order to be the Mashiach, then okay, you know, they may be right, they may be wrong, but they're not without sources.
Mashiach is never
going to
die?
No, that's not what he's saying here. We'll get to that. The Rambam will say explicitly Mashiach is going to die, and we'll see that's going to be a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, who we'll look at next week. Bar Kochba died. Bar Kochba died. Exactly. But once he was killed, then we know, but when he's dead, he can't do any of the things Mashiach has to do. Build a Mikdash, gather the exiles, make a government. Exactly, that hadn't happened. Although there is a debate, by the way, as to whether Bar Kochba began the process of building the Beit HaMikdash. He minted coins showing the Beit HaMikdash, and there is a debate as to whether that indeed shows that he started the building. There is a lot of archaeological discussion about the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock is built on a structure which is very unusual in Islamic architecture, and there are those that want to suggest that it might be built on the top of a structure which was started by Kochba, but that's not for now. That may not be correct, and that you can talk to the archaeologists. The last two lines of number five, the Ikad Varim. The main point here is like this. This is the main point. The Torah will never change, its laws will never change. Forever and ever and ever. We can't add to them. We can't take away from them. If you want to add, you want to take away. Or you try and reinterpret Torah. The Rambam is very sensitive and well aware that if you're dealing with potential messianic figures, one of the first things they do is say, I'm the new way. I have the new law. From now on, you just need to believe in me, and the Torah is going to change. That is a well-trodden path. And the Rambam is very, very clear that that is not the case for Mashiach. Ah, what does he do with all the other sources that talk about the Brit Chadasha, a new covenant, which we'll see in Yirmiyahu. This is a Jewish concept. Who is that talking about, etc.? The Rambam says, nothing to do with Mashiach. The Rambam holds that the Torah will never change, even when the dead come back to life. Even Kriyas HaMetim, whatever that means, more about that. Maybe that's cloning, maybe that's something else. We'll talk about that another time, next time or time after. The Rambam says no change in Torah. And there were plenty of false messiahs even at the time of the Rambam. The Igeret Teiman was written to the Jews of Teiman to deal with messianic issues that were there. And by the way, interestingly, the Rambam, having told us, never tries to predict when Mashiach is going to come. In his letter to the Jews of Teiman, predicts when Mashiach is going to come, okay, to keep people strong and to keep people focused. And of course, that time came and went. Mashiach never came. That's another story. But of course, if you think about Shabtai Tzvi, who was 400 years after the Rambam, 500 years after the Rambam, this is exactly what happened. Along came a messianic character who says, I am the Mashiach, and then it grows into, now you don't have to keep halakha anymore, and he famously or infamously invoked the idea in Chazal of Matir Isurim, that now we can, he made a new bracha, Matir Isurim, we can now allow that which wasn't allowed. He ate on Tisha B'Av, they ate meat, milk, and chalev, and mass sexual immorality, and the Sabbateans, and there are still Sabbateans around, who follow this idea that Shabtai Tzvi really is the Mashiach. I met one once, actually in Hebron, of all places. I was walking through the streets of Hebron. Hebron's always an interesting place. You never know what's coming around the corner in many ways. What was coming to me around the corner was a young fellow that stopped me randomly and said, can you help me? I'm from a Sabbatean family and I'm trying to convert, and the Beis Din don't take me seriously. Why he picked on me, I've no idea. And he said, my parents are Sabbateans. And if you look in the records, you see all through the 8th, what's that?
Were you able to help him?
No, I can't. I said, what can I do? You know, I'm going to walk into the Beis Din and say, you know, he's a good guy. I don't know him from Adam. In the 18th and 19th century, they were finding secret in Poland, Sabbatean societies of people who were swapping wives. This was a thing in Poland, because that was one of the things that Shabtai Tzvi said is going to redeem the hidden sparks of Kedusha, even in Averas, etc. This was happening in Poland. It wasn't all like Fiddler on the Roof. The Rambam is aware of this, and he's telling you right now, don't get into that. The Torah has to be the Torah, and Mashiach can't change that. And of course, this is a swipe of Christianity as well. Number 6. Aliyah Lalev. Don't think for 1 minute, says the Rambam, Shebi Yemos HaMashiach, Yibatel Gavami Minhagaj Le'olam, that anything will change in the way the world works, or Sheyesh Sham Chidush Ma'amaseh Breishis, or that the world will not work in the same way. Meaning, says the Rambam, Ela rather Olam K'minhago Olam. People will get sick. People will die. People will have to pay the mortgage. People will sit in traffic jams. If these are all things that you've been hoping will go away when Mashiach comes, says the Rambam, I'm sorry, that's not how it'll work. So we're going to say, well, so what's the difference then? If I have to pay the mortgage and sit in the traffic jams and go to the doctors, so why is it different? So he'll tell you right now. And when it says in Yeshaya, Vegar ze'ev im keves, that the wolf will lie with the sheep, with the lamb, v'namar im gidi yirbat, and the leopard will crouch down with the goat, moshul v'chida. It's a moshul. It's not literally the animals will all become pals and vegetarians, etc. It's a moshul. It's a parable. In Yanadava, what does it mean? Ishiyu Yisrael yoshvim levesachim yirishay olam. That the Jews, who are often the targets and the victims and have all the rockets, 150,000 rockets from Lebanon, best not to think about that too much, pointing at Israel, says that will go away. These people are compared to predators because they have a predatory approach to try and attack us, and they will go away. They are thus the lion and the lamb. That is, it's not talking about the real animals. Shneimar, and he brings Sukkim to prove that. V'yachzru kulam ledat ha'emet. This is an interesting line. And all the non-Jews will return ledat ha'emet, to the true religion. What does he mean? And there's a big debate, by the way, as to whether the Rambam thinks that everyone will have to become Jewish in Yemos HaMashiach, or whether he just means people will become monotheistic, God-fearing, etc. That's already out there for discussion, the data emet. Right, right. But we don't usually think of that the whole world will become Jewish. Okay? V'lo yigzalu, v'lo yashchit. But they won't steal. And they won't destroy. There's so much negativity and destruction out there. That just won't be what they're looking for. Ela yochlu davar hamutar, they will eat what is mutar to eat, meaning what belongs to them. V'nachat, in a relaxed way, ki Yisrael, like the Jews. Shineemar, and he brings other pasukim for this. L'chein kol yotze ba'elu advarim haksuvim be'inyan Mashiach. All of the things written about Mashiach, Mashalim heim, are all Mashalim. Therefore, it's easy to say that the prophets talk about Mashiach, but how to read the Nevi'im is not clear, because you have to unlock the Moshel. And people often take things very literally, especially today, and literal is not how to read his psukim, he says. When Mashiach comes, everyone will then know what this meant. People will say, ah, yes, this was talking about this, this was talking about that. Meaning, we don't know. This is another thing that you find a lot today. Everybody knows, yeah, this is talking about that, that's talking about this, and this is referring to this, and this has happened, and that's happened. Everyone's a big chacham. Everyone knows more than the Rambam. Says the Rambam, nobody knows until Mashiach comes how everything connects together. Amru chachamim, the rabbi said, Ein bein olam azel, imos ha-mashiach, ele shibud malchiyot bil vay. And he paskins, and by the way, this is one side of a debate. Heavenly music. Okay. Like an ask. Very loud, you can't miss that. That, I put this for anyone who is going to fall asleep in the shir. I organized that someone's very loud phone is going to go off and keep people awake. But even with that, it's better to have them on silence or vibrate. You should know, guys, that this is a machlokas in the Gemara, as to between Rav and Shmuel, and before them between the Tanaim. Will Mashiach indeed be miraculous or non-miraculous? And the Rambam paskens absolutely clearly like Shmuel, where he says, and he even says, Amru Chachamim, the rabbi said, without referencing the other view. The other view we'll see next week, please God. Ein bein olam hazeh l'imos ha-mashiach ala shibud malchus bilvad. There is no difference between this world and Mashiach other than political differences. But then in 7 he says, in his Hemshech, in his continuation, uba'ot ha'azman lo yesham lo ra'av, but there'll be no hunger, v'lo milchama, and no war, v'lo kima, v'lo tacharut, and no competition, and no jealousy. She'atavati ha'mushpat harbe, there'll be goodness all around the world, v'kol ma'adani mitsuyim ka'afar, and all the goodies of the world will be available like dust. Now one second, there'll be no hunger in the world. Didn't he just say that the world will work in a normal way, there'll be no miraculous times, it won't be a time of open miracles, so how will there be no hunger? So the Rambam is telling you a very important thing, which again is a comment on today's world. This is why it's also halakha. The only reason, says the Rambam, there are people who are hungry today, is not because there isn't enough food. It's because people don't share it, and people kill each other for it, and people fight wars. There's enough food for everybody. No problem. Okay, right. Exactly, they will, good. But that's people who are poor. And the Rambam will say, there are always going to be people who find it hard to make a parnasa, but there'll be other people to help them. Okay? Not everybody suddenly will be Bill Gates. You're right. And the question is whether that applies even during Mashiach, or that's only talking about before Mashiach. But one thing is for sure, he says, food is not a miracle. If we could only get our act together, and he'll say soon, we can already be bringing this process forward. Fine. Let's go down, please, to look at number 9. Let me give you a little bit of a teaser for what's coming next week. Number 9 says the Rambam like this: Ubi yomoyt ha-melech ha-mashiach yivada, as we said here, l'chol la'ezeh davah zeh la'ezeh d'zavah haya mashal. We just saw that before. We'll know when Mashiach comes what this is referring to. Ma inyan ramzu b'hem, comes the Raivad. The Raivad was from a more mystical school, from Provence. And Amar Avram, he jumps in immediately and says, wait a second. V'halo katsuv v'torah, isn't it written in the Torah, v'hashivoyz v'hishveisi chaya ra'a min ha'aretz, that I will remove all wild animals from the land? Is that not a miracle? Meaning, the Raivad comes in and says, surely that's not a moshel in the Torah. Are you saying that that refers to terrorists? I'll remove all the wild animals from the land? And the Rambam may turn around and say, yes, actually, it does refer to that. The Raivad says, no, it clearly has to be miraculous. There is no way that the wild animals can be removed from the land other than by a miracle. Which the truth is, today, it's interesting, we live in a time where things happen very naturally that people would have assumed were miraculous. One of my sons, Rebbein, said, we're talking about the prophecy that as Mashiach comes, then the hills will be flattened and the valleys will be raised up. And this sounds like a very miraculous thing. But if you just drive out of Yerushalayim now and look at the infrastructure around you, and you look at the train lines and the bridges going over the head, and the tunnels going under the ground, so really that which was low is now high, and that which was high is now under the ground. And we live in a world which we take for granted. People jump onto metal tubes, fly 500 miles an hour, 30,000 feet in the air, and get off a few hours later at the other side of the world. And we say, well, you know, that's, you know, air travel. It's very uncomfortable, you know. It's not very uncomfortable. It's very miraculous, and yet it's very much part of our world. And therefore, we'll see soon that the Rivas position, which is critical, which is that there will be real miracles, is coming as opposed to the Rambam. We have to understand next week how that's going to come. More about that then. Flip over to page 3, please, because I want to move ahead a little. What is the process? Now, this is what we all want to know. Meaning, everybody feels, I think, that something's happening. Every real, focused understanding hashgafically on what's going on in the world today accepts that something's happening. Meaning, if you look at the classic approaches in hashgafa to what's happening in Israel. So either you're a religious Zionist and you say that something's happening, and we know what that is. That is Reshit Tzmichat Geulateinu. Or you're from a very anti-Zionist Natura Carta position and you say, something's happening. And we know what that is. That's the Satan trying to persuade us to come to Israel. But they agree, something's happening. How can you say nothing's happening? In the general Haredi world, which is not Zionist and is not Natura Carta, so the people that I've spoken to who think so in sophisticated ways, they also say, look, something's happening. We're just not prepared to fly a flag. We don't know if it's this. We don't know if it's this. But who could say nothing's happening? Meaning those people who just walk around in life and say, it's just like it always was, like Poland, da, 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 da. That I don't understand. How can you live in today's world? How can you even turn on the radio on a daily basis and think that, it's just, you know, more of the same? Clearly something's happening. So is there any way we can connect the dots? The Rambam's already said no. But let's see what the Rambam describes as the process. Look at number 11. In Ya'amod Melech Mibeis David, if there were to arise a king from the family of David, Hogeh B'Torah, immersed in Torah, Va'osek B'Mitzvot, and involved in Mitzvot, K'David Aviv, just like David HaMelech. And by the way, there are many people today that can trace their lineage to David HaMelech. This is not an unusual thing. You just need to trace through to someone who's already traced through to David HaMelech. If you can connect with the Maharal of Prague, then you're there, basically. I know people who on their fridge, there's a lineage going back to David HaMelech, if that's the kind of thing you want on your fridge. But that's beautiful, beautiful. So there are plenty of people that can very confidently say that they're from David HaMelech. Fine. And they're immersed in Torah. Kafi Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebal Peh, oral law, written law. V'yachuf kol Yisrael le'lech bo. And he not only is himself immersed in Torah, but he persuades other people to go into Torah. Ulechazek bidka, and he is mechazek people. V'ilachem milchamas Hashem, and he fights the wars of God. Now, the wars of God are not necessarily just physical wars, but tzivas Hashem. This is why they called tzivas Hashem. This is all coming out of this Rambam. Hari zeh becheskat shehu Mashiach. It's interesting. We used to becheskat basari, becheskat chalavi. This is becheskat Mashiach. What do you mean becheskat Mashiach? Meaning we know, you look as though you might be the Mashiach, but you're potentially the Mashiach. We're not sure. We cannot yet sign on the bottom line that you're the Mashiach. But then, ve'im asa ve'hitzliach. But if he does all these things, and he succeeds, ve'nitzach kol ha'umah shel sviviv, and he conquers and he persuades all the world around him, Ubana Mikdash, and then he builds the Mikdash b'mkomah in the right place, no good having it in the wrong place, V'ki Beit Nidche Yisrael, and he brings in all the gathering of the exiles, Hari Zeh Mashiach B'Vadai. So there are two stages. There's potential Mashiach, and there's actual Mashiach. And if you check off the first three or four on the list, then we can say, maybe you're the Mashiach. But then, if you don't do the last, then you cannot be the Mashiach. And this also impacts on the way the people view Chabad, etc. When the Rebbe was alive, certainly, if anybody was around who was Bechezkat Mashiach, he was a good candidate. But then, clearly, he did not do all of the other things on this list, and therefore, you'd have to resort to some kind of Tchias Ametim argument in order to do that, which, of course, as we know, some people do. There are, of course, people around also. There's a many complicated movements in Chabad, and it's not for me to talk about that now. But there are people who feel that Rebbe was alive, and he's no longer alive, and he's not coming back, but he's a great person, we study his works. There are others, the Yechi, is coming back to life, okay. There are others that feel that the Rebbe never died. Not many, I don't think. But most of these major movements in Chabad have sources. Doesn't mean that everyone's right, but nevertheless, they're coming from these Rambam. But if they didn't, if the Mashiach didn't succeed, or Neherag, or he was killed, b'yadua she'eino zeh shivtich alav Torah. But we know that this was not the Mashiach. Who was he? The harihu kakol malchi beis David. Hashleimim, haksherim, shemesu. He may have been a good person, he just potentially was Mashiach, but he never made it. But ohi midu HaKadosh Baruch Hu el nasod bo rabim. God raises these figures to test us, he says. Shneimad, it says, min ha-maskilim itashlu, and he brings various psukim for that. Test us to what? To test us if we'll stick to the plot, or we'll lose the plot. Whether we'll stick to the idea that the Torah will remain and develop, or whether we'll suddenly become messianic. And he goes on, and this is the bit that was censored, Yeshu HaNotri. Yeshu HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, he says, Shidima Shiyya Mashiach, he thought he was the Mashiach. V'ner Rag Beis Din, and he was killed by the Beis Din. Which is an interesting comment, by the way. Now, we know that the time, at that point, the Beis Din no longer had, depending on who exactly Yeshu HaNotri was, which is not 100% clear, but if Yeshu HaNotri was the Christian version, by that time the Beis Din didn't have the power to kill anymore, and therefore would have had to hand over to the Romans. But the Rambam says, V'ner Rag Beis Din. And he says, Daniel already prophesied about such a person, Shinema Ovne Peritsei Amcha, that he was a Parut, Yinasu Lahamid Chazon Venichshalu, he will actually cause people to trip. V'kiyesh Michshal Gadol Mizeh, is there any greater Michshal than stumbling block than Christianity? He says, Shekola Nevi'im Dibru Shamashiach Goel Yisrael Omashiach. That all of the Nevi'im said the Mashiach would redeem the Jewish people. Umakabet nidchayem, umachazek mitzvotam. V'zeh garam la'abed Yisrael b'cherev, and this didn't cause, Christianity didn't bring any of the things, he says, that the Mashiach is meant to bring. We didn't get greater, we actually were destroyed, sent into diaspora, ulefazer, etc., shiritam lahashpila. And therefore he said there is no question, and this is an example of a false Messiah, and you can see why this was taken out of the, in the censored version. Go to number 12, please. The Rambam now describes a process. 12, okay? Now he says, it sounds from the Nevi'im, shebitchila yimosa Mashiach tia milchemet Gog u'Magog. He's not sure. He says, it sounds like there'll be some kind of war. U'shekodem milchemet Gog u'Magog, yamod Navi, and before the Gog u'Magog, there'll be a Navi sent to Yisrael, liyasheh Yisrael, lahachin libam, to get people ready, to prepare people for Mashiach. Who is that? Who do we always think that is? Right. So he's not going to say, he's not sure. Shneemar, hinei anochi sholeich lachem et Eliyah Hanavi. I'm sending you Eliyah Hanavi. Is that the same as Eliyahu? Maybe yes, maybe no. Ve'einu ba lo letamei letahor ve'lo letahar etamei. His Eliyahu is not coming, says the Rambam, to make people tahor who were tamei or tamei who were tahor. Ve'lo lissol anashim shehem b'chez kakshirim kashrut. Not to tell people who think they're Jewish that they're not really Jewish. And not to tell people that they are Jewish when they think they're not Jewish. Meaning, we don't know how many people in the world are Jewish. According to one of my friends in Harnov, who is a statistician, okay, he works for, I think he's in Hebrew, you are Bar-Ilan, he did a calculation based on the numbers that we have and the accounts that we have. He reckons that there are 600 million halachic Jews in the world today. 600 million. Where did he get that from? He takes the numbers of how many there were of Bizman HaMikdash, the number of women, the number of men, how many people, da-da-da-da-da-da. He reckons out of 7 billion people, there are more like to be 600 million. A lot of flies around today, yeah. It's okay, it's part of my system to keep people awake. So if there are 600 million Jews in the world, and there are, you know, there's a lot of people out there who don't know that they're Jewish. It's still hard to get them in. Can you believe it? 600 million... still hard to get them in. Says the Rambam, don't worry about all of that. Eliyahu is not coming to change that status quo. Ela, the sum shalom ba'olam. He's coming to bring shalom to the world. Shneema lahashiv leiv avot al habanim. What does that mean, lahashiv leiv avot al habanim? So the resources, I've given you a little bit later, maybe just have a look for a second at the bottom of the page where it talks about Eliyahu Navi. So if you flip over to the page 4 for a second, we're going to go back to page 3 in a minute, but if you just look at page 4 for a second, what kind of shalom are we talking about, that Eliyahu will be bringing shalom back to the world? So the Tosfos Yontov brings a classic understanding that This is talking about the halachic process, as well as general human issues. Klomar, he says at the top on page number 15, alachukim v'hamishpatim, it's talking about the laws that we have, yishvalev avot aleim leifanim, he will bring everyone back together again. Shalotia od machlokas beinayim. There won't be any machlokas. We'll have a halachic process which comes back together. V'nireli, and he says, I think, d'mihacha regilin loma de teku, that's the origin of the idea that teku, the expression teku, which of course, in modern Hebrew, teku is used to mean it's a tie in a sports match. La'avdil, if it's 6-6, teku. But it means that we can't resolve it. The teku, which is used all over the Gemara, sha'amru b'gemara, which is said in the Gemara, he not to recall. It's actually an acrostic. It stands for Tishbi Yitaret Kushot Be'abai. The Tishbi, who is Eliyahu, the Tishbi will come and answer all the problems and the questions. Afalpi, even though she'er mashmu'utan, they relieve that really on a more pshat level, Tishbi means, teku means tehekai, let it stand. It's an Aramaic expression. Let it stand, we can't resolve it. But one of the things he says is Eliyahu, wearing his Tishbi hat, is there to resolve machloket. And this is a point which I don't know if we've mentioned before. The Rambam especially is very, very strong in the understanding that Nevi'im have no role in the halachic process. He says that in many, many different places, that Bizman HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, when we had a world of Nevi'im, if you had a shiloh, if you dropped your fleishig spoon into your milk washing up, who did you ask? So you didn't go to your local Navi, says the Rambam, and say, look, tell me, do you think it's this meat's kosher or do you think it's meat's kosher? Look at it and ask God and give me a psak as to whether it's kosher or not. The Rambam says, Chas v'shalom, that's a Navi sheker. The Navi may have paskan shilohs, but they always wore two hats. They wore a Navi hat and they wore a rabbi hat, okay? And wearing their rabbi hat, they're able to answer shilas, and that's the Tishbi. Eliyahu also wears these two hats. He's Eliyahu HaTishbi, but he's also Eliyahu HaNavi. So when we sing Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, we're talking about these two hats of Eliyahu. One hat is to answer halachic shilas, that's the Tishbi, and the other is to answer factual shilas. For example, in the halachic process, if you find lost property, and you know that it belongs to somebody, there's a siman, and you can't keep it, but you can't find who it belongs to, so what is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Is teheimunach, you have to keep it, ad, until sheyavu Eliyahu. So halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you have to keep it until Eliyahu comes. Because that's a job for Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi can tell you who the lost property belongs to. But Eliyahu HaTishbi can answer your shilas. And therefore Tosfos Yonson says that that's what teku means, and that's one of the major jobs of Eliyahu, to resolve these halachic differences. I just brought you number 16, because this throws something into the pot that we have to think about for next time as well. The Kedushas Levi raises an interesting question. He says, V'haroshit tevas tishbi yitares kushivus yabayas, uv'ashkofa rishona, number 16, he says, on the first side of it, yesh ledakfek, I want to know, hazeh yiyeh hakol achabiyat goel, is this all talking about after Mashiach, b'mheiru b'yameinu amein? The Lama Yataret Eliyahu Akushis Vabayas. Why do I need Eliyahu to answer all these halachic questions? The Hayamod Moshe Rabbeinu, when we have Moshe Rabbeinu, Shinaf and Lana Hatarava Mitzvah, the Lama Lo Yataret Hu Akushis Vabayas. And he's throwing in here an interesting question, which is, indeed, how do we envisage this time? Will we have all the greats back again, Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel and David? Or is actually, no, that's got nothing to do with it. Yitzchias HaMesim has got nothing to do with this whole process. And maybe we need Eliyahu Navi, who of course never died. Eliyahu never died, and therefore there's no Yitzchias HaMesim for Eliyahu. You just have to know where to find him. And that, if you like, is going to raise the questions for next week, excuse me, when we talk in more miraculous terms. Excuse me. Just go back for a second to page number 3, and let's look at the finished number 12. He says here, V'yesh minach achayim sha'omrim, in the middle paragraph of number 12, there are those rabbis who want to say, she'kaidim bi'at melech ha-mashiach yavo Eliyahu, that Eliyahu will come before Mashiach. There are those that say that. V'kol elu dvarim, and here's an important point, and all of these things, ukiyot them, and anything like them, in the details, lo yeda adam heich yihiyu, nobody really knows how it's going to be, ad she'yihiyu, until it is. Meaning, the details are not important. Because Because even the Nevi'im were stumped on many of these things. It wasn't clear to them. And the Chachamim, the rabbis, had no Kabbalah. Meaning in halachic issues and other hashgraphic issues, they had a Kabbalah, they had a received tradition. This is how we understand it. Here they didn't have a tradition in that way. They were reading the Psukim, we were reading the Psukim. I mean, the rabbis themselves were trying to work out from the text of the Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im themselves weren't clear about it, how Mashiach is going to work. Therefore, everyone has different ideas about Mashiach. But I'll compare him. And one thing is for sure, he said, Ein sidur havayat dvarim ela v'lo dikdukan ikar hadat. And he now, it goes into an interesting and important point. Getting into the specifics of Mashiach is not one of the ikrei hadat. That's not one of the classic ideas in Judaism. It's not one of the key beliefs. Meaning believing in Mashiach is, but not the details. Because the details will take you down the wrong path. The details will turn you into a messianist. And messianism is a bad thing. It's this line between wanting Mashiach and yet not becoming obsessed with Mashiach. And we've seen in the past there are movements within the Jewish people and present which become obsessive about Mashiach to a point which others begin to be concerned. There are those that are concerned that the entire religious Zionist movement has become too messianic. And in that sense is falling into a, if you like, a trap that the Rambam is saying not to fall into. Look in the last paragraph of number 12. Don't get too focused and involved with trying to understand all these agadatas. And don't spend too much time learning all the midrashim ha'murim b'imyanim elu, which talk about Mashiach kiyot b'hem. Lo yasimu mikah. Don't make Mashiach the center of your Jewish life. She'einam mavim lo yidei ahava. This won't bring you to love God. Lo yidei yira, and he won't bring you to fear God. V'chein lo yichashev hakitzim, and don't try and work out when Mashiach is going to come. Ela rather yichakeh v'yamin b'chlal adava k'mo she'be'arnu. And this, I think, is an important point. And the Rambam is really guiding, because, again, as I said in the beginning, the Rambam wants us to know now, in our everyday lives, how to relate to these concepts. Because Mashiach can take over people's lives. And the Rambam is telling us, on the one hand, that Mashiach has to be central, but once it becomes the central focus, then he says we've lost the plot, and we have to be very, very careful about that. Let me just show you a couple of final things before we end. Go over to page 4, and I won't have you flipping around anymore. He also wants to know why we want Mashiach. What will we achieve when Mashiach comes that we can't achieve now? Number 19. Loinit avu hanavim hachamim yemosa Mashiach. Why did the rabbis want so much Mashiach? Lakadei sheyishlatu al kol ha'olam. Not so that the Jews can be masters of the world. That's ridiculous. We don't want to be masters of the world. But like Yedeshi Yidu Begoyim, not that we can somehow oppress or get back at the non-Jews that have for so long oppressed us. That's not the point. But like Yedeshi Yisnasu Ozam Ha'amim, and not that we can be superior over the rest of the world. That's not what we have in mind. But like Yedelechol Lishdod Lismoach, and not so that we will eat. If you think Mashiach is one endless Papagayo experience or whatever does it for you, you know, that's not what it's all about. V'lishdot, and to drink, v'lismach, and to be merry. That's not our idea about Mashiach. Ella, what is Mashiach for? Kidei shiyu pnuyim. We want to have free time. We don't want to be constantly involved in making parnasa. We don't want to be constantly involved in fighting. Pnuyim b'torah, so the free time so that we can learn Torah, u'b'chokhmata. Think about it. The Rambam envisages a world which is not miraculous, and yet which people are not focused on killing and stealing and destroying. Think if all of the weapons research and the money that we spend on weapons instead was diverted into cancer research. So would we live in a world in which there was still illness? Yes. But think of how many billions and trillions and gazillions of dollars we would have to invest into solving that. And therefore, rather than having to sweat away and trying to make that happen, we would have the free time to from disease, from, and not because it's miraculous, but because we've focus on other things. We wouldn't be constantly oppressed and if you like, blocked out. Because we want to learn and connect with God in this world. Why? So that we can connect with God fully in the next world. And that's the point. For the Rambam, the Ikka is the next world in the sense that that is where we really connect with God. But we can only connect with God in the next world if we build in this world. And the connection in this world can only be built if we're calm, if we have time, if we can think, if we can study. Man, because in that time he says, Lo sham lo rav, they won't be hungry, but milchama, kina, as we've seen before, but we'll be free. And he says at the end, Ki Hashem, liyam. Because that is the world in which we envisage that people will be able to learn and to think and to focus in a way that they're just unable to do right now. And therefore, that's for us what we're trying to achieve with Mashiach. We're trying to free the world of all its distractions, many of them deadly distractions, in order to allow us to do what we're here to do, which is to think, to learn. For the Rambam, the world is about thinking, about studying, about focusing, and in that sense, that's what we're looking for, a world of Mashiach. Now, some people may feel that the world in which we live in now is a world which is closer to that. And Rav Aryeh Kaplan has a very beautiful book, which is called The Real Messiah. But it's one of the books, a small book that he wrote many years ago about Christian missionaries. And in the back of that book, he has a little section about Mashiach, the real Mashiach, etc. And I recommend that you read it, because he says a few interesting and slightly controversial things. He says, this idea of moving towards a world in which we will be able to focus not so much on, think how much effort it takes to make a loaf of bread. It used to take to make a loaf of bread. Think how much effort it used to take to wash the clothes. Just go to a museum, and I mean, you don't need a museum. Some people may remember that their grandparents had it, like using a mangle and going and all this. Think of how much effort that used to take. It says the Rambam, that's the world that we want to be free of. So that what? So not that we can watch TV, but so we can, I suppose it depends on what you watch on TV, but if you're, so that we can be free to study. Rav Kaplan says that the curses that were placed on Adam and Chava when they left Gan Eden will slowly be reversed as the world moves towards this messianic view that the Rambam is painting. For example, he says, the curse on Chava, that she will have immense pain when she has children, when she gives birth, and there's nothing that she can do to alleviate that pain. Now, I'm not here to tell you that having babies is an easy thing, because I've never done it, and I don't intend to. But there's no question at all that the pain relief in childbirth is a massive change, potentially, for people who want it and need it in giving birth. He said, for example, the curse on Adam Arishan, the Bezeyas Apech HaTochel Lechem, that the only way you'll get a loaf of bread is if you plant and you plow and you sow and you reap and you grind and you... to make a loaf of bread, which is probably not even worth eating at the end of it. Okay? So now, bread grows on shelves in supermarkets. Think about a supermarket. You walk in there, and there's like 1,000 different loaves of bread. When I took my son to, my children to America many years ago, their first trip to America, and I said to them afterwards, what made the most impact on you when you went to America? And he said, when I went to the supermarket, there were like 100 different types of juice. Juice with pulp, with a lot of pulp, with a little pulp, with no pulp, with this, with that. Says Rav Kaplan, the world in which we live today is a little bit closer to that ideal world that we're looking for. It's not ideal, but it's moving. And he says the curse on Chava, that she will be subordinated to her husband. He says, you see, he said all this in the 70s already, you see the 20th century and the reversal of that classic role where the men basically control the women. He read into that reversal a process leading back towards what used to be, where there wasn't this curse in the world and men and women had that equality of relationship that Adam and Chava had. That's a little bit more of a controversial point, but it's a point that he makes. I just want to draw your attention on the last page, on page five. Page five, the last page, in the last minute. Most of this is material that we've already seen, although this is a source we haven't seen. This is the Rambam, an English translation of the Rambam's introduction to Perek Chelek, which is his commentary on Sanhedrin, and I'll leave you to read this on your own. Most of it says the same as what the Rambam said in Mishnah Torah about the idea of a non-miraculous Mashiach where we're trying to avoid distractions, but I want to just draw your attention to a couple of things. On the second paragraph, you don't have to read it inside, we're nearly finished now. He says an important thing. He says, about 10 lines down, but, he says, the Messiah will die, and his son's son will reign in his stead. Meaning the Rambam's world of Mashiach is a world in which people die, in which Mashiach himself eventually dies, but there's a system, there's a Hamshach, there is a son of Mashiach. One of my son's Rabbanim said to me once, I'm not worried about Mashiach, I'm worried about Mashiach's son. Which is an interesting thing. We never usually think beyond that. He says, God has clearly declared his death in the words, and he brings the Pesukim there. His kingdom will endure a very long time. The lives of men will be long also, because longevity is a consequence of the removal of sorrows and cares. If I say to you, people could live till they're 150, 200, 300 years old, when Mashiach comes, you don't need miracles for that. You just need medical research and less sorrow. And therefore, these are all ideas which I think we should bear in mind. It's a picture of Mashiach which is a little bit different from perhaps people's classic. And we need to bear that in mind for next week, when next week I want to look at the more supernatural, Kabbalistic picture, Mashiach ben Yosef, Rav Kook. I want to look at Rav Kook's Hesed for Theodor Herzl, which has a lot to say about this, and also other ideas as well. So we leave it there for now. I wish you all a wonderful week, and we'll continue, please God, next week.